Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Road Trip Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this being road trip season, we asked people to send us stories about road trips that didn't end well. And we got a bunch of pretty good ones.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to read the one about the portable potty, are you?
No. That's for the website only. This one comes from Henry Hamilton, and he says, in 1966, I met a Peace Corps volunteer in Afghanistan. He was part of a team looking at sites for hydroelectric dams. On one occasion, his team of hydrologists headed out to the boonies in two big Bedford trucks loaded with equipment. Of course, in the middle of nowhere, the drive shaft on one of the trucks breaks.
Of course it does.
So half the group stays with the broken truck, and the other half takes the working truck and goes for help.
That means they went to town and started having a party.
Right. They find a village 45 miles away where a mechanic says he can have a drive shaft for a Bedford truck by noon the next day. They take a hotel room and they wait. The next morning, back out in the desert, the stranded volunteers see a caravan approaching.
The Dodge Caravan?
Much to their astonishment, one camel has a drive shaft strapped to its back. The volunteers dicker with the Afghans and finally agree on a price of $200. They fix the truck and drive towards the village. When they get there, they find their friends sitting outside the hotel. They gleefully tell them about how some nomads showed up, and believe it or not, they had a Bedford drive shaft for sale.
Mon Dieu!
We believe it, one of the guys at the hotel says. They stole it from our truck last night.
Well, it was enterprising of them. See, the Peace Corps works, doesn't it?
If you have your own road trip story or want to read more of the ones people sent us, they're at the website, cartalk.com.
Or if you want to ask a question about your car or your caravan, you can call us. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. I didn't know they made a caravan in 1966.
They didn't know.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cherie. How are you doing today?
Hi, Cherie. What's going on? Where are you from?
How do you spell Cherie?
Well, you know, it's the French way, C-H-E-R-I-E.
You're like ma chérie.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Cherie, that's Cherie. I got it.
Are you French?
I was raised in a French country, but it's Haiti.
Ah, okay. Where are you from now?
I'm from Cocoa, Florida, where they shoot up the space shuttle.
Oh, that's like Cocoa Beach.
Mm-hmm, right by Cocoa Beach.
Great.
Oh, so there's a town called Cocoa and a town called Cocoa Beach?
Of course. 10 miles inland, not quite as prestigious. You got the general feel?
I get that to diminish your status by taking the beach name off.
Exactly. But a bit cheaper, too.
Could have been worse. You could have called it Cocoa Inland.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Cocoa the Lesser.
They could.
So what's up, Cherie?
Well, I'm calling. I have a Lexus 1995 ES300. And somebody gave me this car a couple of months ago. Really a blessing.
How many miles on it?
190,000.
Okay.
Everything else runs great on this car, but it started dumping water in the back passenger seat on the floorboard, and it's clean water. And so I would suck it out with a shop vac, and it would reappear the next day. So it magically stopped dumping the water. However, occasionally, like once a day, in Florida that's a big deal, the air conditioner does this thing where it makes this weird banshee noise, like a noise. And then at that point, the air conditioner diminishes, and in about 5 minutes, it's blowing hot air. So if I wait like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, an hour, it blows cold air again. And so I've had the level and the pressure checked on the Freon levels, and I've had the compressor checked, and it appears to be fine. However, I sweat a lot. So can you tell me why my car does this?
Oh, boy. Geez, I'm not sure the two things are necessarily related, but I would like them to be.
So would I.
Is the noise that you hear, the banshee noise, is that irrespective of the speed that the fan is set at?
Yes.
And that noise is coming from under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the other, well, let's go to the water thing first. We got a shot at that
one. Yeah, the water.
Okay.
The water is water that's being removed from the passenger compartment. That's why it's cooling. And when you cool off the air, you're removing the humidity from it. And that water is traveling, I'm guessing, underneath the carpet.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because the evaporator drain isn't working.
Okay.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the other problem.
Okay.
Which suggests to me that the compressor is bad.
Yeah.
And it's bad because when it gets really overheated, it starts to seize up. And I think the noise you're hearing is probably the belt squealing.
Hmm.
So when these guys run it and they say everything's okay, they haven't run it long enough and hard enough to get the thing to fail.
Okay.
So you have to decide if you want to put $1,000 into this air conditioner.
Into the free car.
Into the free car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, 190,000 miles, you know, I think I might just wait for it to cool off and or warm down, whatever the case might be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be cool again.
So when does that happen in Cocoa?
You know, it doesn't ever really happen. I think it's about 98 degrees today and about 100% humidity.
You know, what you could do is you could just continue to drive it like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Except give the air conditioner compressor a rest from time to time.
Okay.
Right? So, what's the longest it works for before it starts screaming out in pain?
Oh, gosh. An hour or two, maybe, depending if I'm doing, like, a long drive.
Oh, so it can be all right for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
Where the heck are you going that you're driving an hour or two in this old jalopy?
I work as a missionary, so I'm traveling all around all the time. And so this thing...
Well, you're doing, you're driving it to Africa?
I do. It gets me all around the country so I can get different places, and then it stays parked when I travel.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, well, thanks, guys. But I
didn't tell you how to fix the evaporator drain.
Oh, tell me.
So you need to take it to a repair shop
where
they'll put it up on the lift and blow the thing out with compressed air.
Oh.
You've got some debris in there that's preventing the drain from draining that water onto the street.
Okay.
So get that blown out, and then periodically turn the AC off, open the windows, and cool off that way.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think I'd do anything unless something absolutely breaks.
Yeah, unless it has to be done.
Yeah, and then you'll decide you don't need air conditioning at all. You can tough it out.
That's right.
See you, Sherry.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Beth calling from Belton, South Carolina.
Hey, Beth from Belton, South Carolina. What's up?
Well, I have quite the dilemma for you.
Yeah.
This actually isn't related to a vehicle. My problem is my father.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever my father goes and fills up his car with gas, he will rock the car back and forth just as hard as he can, trying to get as much gas as possible in the gas tank.
Yeah.
My question, aside from the, you know, embarrassment factor to my poor mother, is this actually something that's truly beneficial, or have the fumes gone to his head?
Oh, so if your mother's sitting in the car while he's doing this, trying to, like, fix her lipstick or something, this could be very...
That doesn't work anymore.
It's not going to work out for her.
Well, I mean, she doesn't do that anymore. She goes into the convenience store and hides until he's done.
Oh, right, so no one can identify that she's
exactly
with him.
Yeah.
When did he first start doing this?
When I was a girl. I mean, I would hide in the back of the minivan, so if my friends came by, nobody would see me. and it's gotten worse as he's gotten older. He bought an Echo a couple years ago, and Mom says he actually tries to lift it up.
Really? What did Dad do for a living?
Well, he's retired, but he was a former systems analyst, a computer programmer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he does have a brain.
Did he retire early?
He actually did.
That's a problem. Yeah, guys who retire early.
Yeah, got
nothing else to do, and they have to figure out some way to drive their wives crazy. And I think he's certainly hit on it.
Oh, yeah.
He's certainly hit on the way to drive your mom crazy. And what he's trying to do, for whatever reason, is get in as much gas as he possibly can. So is he still driving this Echo?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, so he bought this thing brand new, and he was ticked off that he can't get more than 12 gallons of gas in it. He said, jeez, I know there's room for 14 gallons in there, and if I did that, I could drive the thing another 50 miles.
Right.
Well, it would be interesting to know, when he does this hoochie-coochie thing, does he actually get more gasoline into the car? Because it's possible that he just shakes it and doesn't do anything.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean... I don't know if he thinks he's getting air out or something. I don't know.
He thinks he's doing. He's burping.
Right.
Yeah, it's like when you put your kid to sleep for the night. You try to get that extra half a bottle of food into him, because you know if you don't, he's going to wake up at 4 o'clock and he's going to be hungry.
Right,
so if you can get that extra half a bottle in by burping him, then he might be all right until 7 o'clock in the morning. And he's thinking in his lifetime, because he was a systems analyst kind of guy,
right,
he has, by doing this... he has reduced the number of fill-ups by 175. There's 175 fewer times that he's going to have to go to the gas station in his lifetime.
But in reality, he's probably saving 5 visits to the gas station. Maybe.
Maybe. I guess. So, you know, he's not getting more gas in. He may be getting a little more gas in, but the truth of the matter is that all the manufacturers tell you when the thing shuts off, the nozzle shuts off, stop pumping gas. If you do try to overfill it, you run the risk of getting gasoline into the evaporative emissions canister, and you could damage it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he may have damaged it already. If he hasn't, he's lucky. But eventually, the check engine light's going to come on, and he will have damaged some component, and he can attribute it to this. But if he does stop this, I'm guessing he's going to start doing something else. Maybe something else that's nuttier. Be careful what you wish for, Beth. You may get it. I mean, of all the things he could possibly do that are nutty, this ain't so bad.
Okay.
What if he started driving around the car without any pants on? I mean, he could do that too, you know. You know, because your pants get wrinkled when you sit in them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He might be putting them on the back seat.
Right.
So he gets to the wedding.
So he could take his pants off and fold them up neatly and drive around in his underwear. And then when he gets where he's going to go, you know, like the church, he could step out of the car and put his pants on. Now, of the two of those, which would you rather have him do? Burp the car or drive around without his pants?
Definitely burp the car.
Yeah. Burp the car.
And I think, which one would your mother be less embarrassed about? Certainly burping the car.
Absolutely.
So I would let him be.
Okay.
And hope that he doesn't hear this thing about driving around without his pants, because it ain't a bad idea.
Not a great mental picture there.
No, that's not. No, it's not a good picture.
No.
Anyway, good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
See you, Beth.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey,
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227. Gee, you know, I hadn't thought of that when I went to your son's wedding. I should have driven without my pants on, because they were all wrinkled by the time I got there. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Howard calling from Beechwood, Ohio.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Howard.
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Good. Have you ever driven with your pants off?
No. I've always kept them on, thank God.
Just checking. What's up, Howard?
My car, over the last 10 days, has hit 2 birds, and the birds are impacted against my radiator. And I really thought they would just biodegrade in time. I'm a sort of leave-it-alone kind of guy, and over the last few days, I've attracted flies, yellow jackets, hornets, wasps, and a rather unpleasant bouquet. The car has become a veritable Noah's Ark of pestilence. And really, what I'm trying to find out is what is the best solution for getting these things off the radiator without taking it to the BMW dealer at $112.50 an hour?
Oh, well, you could try the do-it-yourself car wash.
You know, I've taken my garden hose under the high spray, and I've washed the birds off the radiator, and they are now stuck on the other side of the splash pan underneath.
Here's what's interesting. I don't think I have ever hit a bird in my life.
Well, the birds hit me.
Well, the birds may have hit you because you were driving too fast. Is that possible?
Definitely not. One maybe. The Cardinal had it coming.
The Cardinal had it coming. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure the Audubon Society will be thrilled to hear about this.
I was on the highway, and it just swooped down out of nowhere, and since I didn't see it swoop up, and I saw a couple of feathers in the rearview mirror, I figured it was on a kamikaze mission.
And you could never swerve to avoid a swoop.
Well, not at 75.
So, I think you're going to have somebody now take down the splash pan.
Okay, now is this something I can do myself?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting underneath there and removing a few screws, but it's going to be disgusting.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but you're prepared
for that.
But it's
going to be relatively easy.
Okay.
You could, if you just were to unbolt one corner of that thing.
Okay.
You might be able to scoop them out with a stick.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, now, I haven't been under the car yet. Do you know whether or not it takes a standard screwdriver? Because I see that the screws, you know, when looking to approach this from on top, the screws sort of take a modified, looks like hexagonal bit.
It may not be screws at all.
They're Torx bits, I believe.
Okay.
They're Torx bolts.
Okay.
So you may have to crawl under there, figure out what size they are.
Okay.
So you have to go with the whole toolkit.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Try not to kill anything next week.
I'll let my patients know.
See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
He's a physician.
Yeah.
He's used to blood and guts. He won't mind getting in there at all.
No.
Okay, look, we need to take a short break, and when we come back, we will not have a puzzler answer.
What? Don't tell me that you forgot the puzzler this week.
No. The puzzler's away on summer vacation. Kind of like your brain.
Except the puzzler's going to come back at some point.
Well, that's true. So what's coming up instead?
Well, I have a very important question from a listener here that we've apparently never addressed.
Oh, really? You want to give us a little hint, a teaser? I mean, the general subject matter, at least?
Well, it's about the intersection of mechanics and brownies.
This isn't nuts or no nuts, is it?
No.
All right, well, anyway, we'll be back to answer this critical question, I'm sure, right after this break, so please stay tuned.
I like the way that you look behind that wheel. How fast does that engine go with just a touch of your toe? Are those leather seats real? Are you headed out west? How many miles? I'd love to go for a spin. Can I climb on in, ride along for a while? One foot on the dashboard, brim pulled down low. Ain't got no map, but I buckle my strap and I'm ready to go. One arm out the window, on the passenger side, leaning into the curves, flying over the hills, just along for the ride.
And even though NPR's Gardner looks both ways and sprays a little weed killer on our salads whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and spreading the wealth.
Or at least the batter. This is from Mary Martin, who wants to know, what is the proper mechanic to brownies ratio? Should I make enough for the whole shop or just for the guy who works on my car? To whom do I give the box of brownies? The person at the register, or do I ask for the mechanic who did the work on my car? I want to honor shop etiquette. Thank you for your help, Mary.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Good question, isn't it?
Well, it depends on the size of the shop. I mean, if you're dealing with a dealership where there may be 40 or 50 mechanics, you couldn't possibly, unless you want to open a brownie factory. But I'm assuming that you're talking about smaller shops.
Hmm.
And no mechanic in any dealership would accept brownies from a customer because they figured they'd have rat poison in them. But if you're dealing with a smaller shop, you know, a five-person shop, for example, I think the proper etiquette is to make enough for everybody. I mean, you certainly don't want to set up any kind of strife within the walls of the repair shop, do you?
Yeah.
Let's look at our shop. We have Sean. He's good for about 8 brownies. And Craig is good for about 4. So for us, we got 6 guys in the shop. It'll be about 200 brownies.
You could go broke with brownies.
You could go broke. then we've got the dog and, you know, God knows what else. So I think you have to go 3 times the number of employees at the shop to be safe. So if it's 6 employees, 18 brownies. That's your standard Pyrex dish of brownies.
Wow.
You would cut them 6 by 3, right?
Wow.
They could buy, we do, by the way,
oh,
we do not accept store-bought brownies. No, we want them made with love.
They have to be homemade.
Of course.
Man.
Yeah.
This gets very, very
it
serious.
It does. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up for people. Anyway, look, some of you out there might be wondering where the puzzler is.
What about those of us here? What if we're wondering, too?
Well, the puzzler, as you should have known, I guess, is on summer vacation.
Ah, yes, vacation.
Yeah, that's right. It's resting, recuperating, rejuvenating, rehabilitating, and trying to get less lousy.
And we hope fervently that it succeeds.
Jeez, you know, when you say it like that, it sounds like you didn't like my previous puzzle efforts.
No, no, I wasn't criticizing the last puzzle season. I was just hoping that the next one doesn't stink as much.
Well, I have feelings of hurt. It's too late now. Anyway, the puzzle will return in the fall. In the meantime, you puzzler nuts can head over to the website, cartalk.com, where each week we're posting a different green puzzler for you.
What makes the puzzler green?
Recycled, man! Now, if you want some car advice, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Amanda, and I'm calling from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Amanda, from Middletown.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy's son went to college at Middletown, Connecticut.
I was just thinking.
Did he go
that.
To Wesleyan?
Yes, he did.
He did.
It's a beautiful school.
It's wonderful.
It was far enough away so that Tommy wouldn't show up unannounced.
Oh, yeah. That's the key.
I wasn't allowed on the campus.
That's awesome.
We'll discuss that some other time. So what's up, Amanda?
I drive a 1993 Ford Ranger. It's actually my parents, and I've been borrowing it for the summer, and I can't stop the shaking. The car shakes like a wet dog, just nonstop, all the time, and I'd really like to fix it before I give it back to him.
So you start it up, and the whole what is shaking?
The entire vehicle shakes back and forth.
Oh, so that's the period, is it ever?
And if you now put it in drive, and it continues?
Yes. Like, when I go to drive on, like, if I'm starting to go on the highway on the on-ramp, as I accelerate, the car starts to shake worse and worse and worse, so I let off the gas a little bit, and it will get better, but then it gets worse again.
So your parents gave you this vehicle to use for the summer?
Yes.
And with that, were there any instructions?
Don't kill it.
Don't kill it. And so why did you choose not to heed those instructions?
Well, I'm not a very good listener.
So when you got it from your father?
From my mother.
Your mother. And she didn't say it shakes like crazy?
Nope.
But she did say don't kill it.
Yes. So I think she knew.
Oh, so she knew that something was wrong and she... this is something you inherited from your mother, Amanda. She, too, chose to stick her head in the sand. She figures, I'm just going to pass this on to Amanda, and maybe she'll get tired of it.
She'll do something about it.
And she'll figure it out.
Well, right, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take initiative.
And you're going to fix it.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
So what are your financial limitations here, Amanda?
They're very low.
They're very limited, huh? Well, how limited?
I would say less than $500 limited.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, 500.
Oh, I thought you were going to say less than 50, in which case we're going to advise you to...
to have an accident. A really bad accident.
Crash into a guardrail, right. And then the shaking becomes moot. Oh, Mom, I hit a tree. Well, it could be something very, very simple.
We can fix this for $500.
It could be a spark plug wire that's fallen off. Or
really?
A spark plug that's gotten fouled.
That's excellent.
It could be something that simple. So what you need to do, step one...
Mm-hmm.
Open the hood.
Okay.
Okay, and with the engine running, you'll see it shaking. It's going to be, is this a four-cylinder engine?
Yes.
Okay, and if you
You'll see it shaking back and forth.
And if you had one spark plug wire that had fallen off, for example, then in fact you would be able to determine that that was the cause of it. You'd turn the key off, you plug that wire on where you think it should be, which is onto the end of one of the spark plugs. You start it up and voila, it's fixed.
Excellent. I'm glad you mentioned turning the car off, too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
You could do it on the fly, but you could get hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an 80,000-volt spark.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, it only hurts for a second. It's like getting hit by lightning. So you could do that, and that's the best-case scenario.
Okay.
The other possibilities are that there's a valve that's burned out. I mean, a 93 Ranger must have how many miles on it?
Oh, like 170,000.
Mm.
Yeah. It could be quite serious.
Mm.
Well, it could be. But the intermediate possibility is that it isn't a burned-out valve and it isn't a disconnected wire, but it's a spark plug that's gotten fouled.
Okay.
So if it isn't a wire that's fallen off, then you're going to have to take it someplace and have them look at it. They may say, oh, it's a fouled spark plug. We'll put a new plug in there. Or we found a vacuum hose that fell off and that's causing the shaking. By the way, when you get this thing up, can you drive it at 70 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm encouraged then that it's not, in fact, a burn valve.
Oh.
I don't think with a four-cylinder engine, you'd be able to get this thing up to highway speed very readily.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that you have maybe a vacuum leak. That's my guess. And that's going to cost nothing to fix.
Oh, that's amazing. everything. He made my day. I really thought I'd just have to, like, you know, scrap the car and get the
insurance. Oh, you may have to. I mean, we give him a lot of bad advice, so this could be another wrong answer.
Do you have any relationship with any mechanic any place?
Oh, yeah.
So you could go in and say, here's what it's doing. What do you think it is?
Oh, okay. I can
do that. And you have to decide, Amanda, if you want to make the brownies in advance.
Oh, I'm an excellent baker, too.
Really?
Wonderful.
I make a delicious cheesecake.
Mechanics don't eat cheesecake. It's too formal.
Oh.
Yeah, the brownies are nice because you can eat those with greasy hands and nobody can tell the difference. So I think you make the brownies in advance.
All right, I'll get right on it.
Because if you wait till after the fact, it you know, it could be costly. I think you make the brownies in advance, and if it's something simple like a vacuum leak, they're less apt to rip you off. They'll just fix it and say, Amanda, you're all set. You say, you ready for this? What do I owe you?
And
be prepared to have them say, oh, that's all right. It's free.
That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, don't call us if it doesn't go well. We can't take bad news either.
All right, I promise.
See you later.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from Oak Park, Michigan. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. Hey. What's going on, man?
Hey, I have an automotive physics question for
you.
Yeah,
physics. Oh, one of my favorite subjects.
That's what I figured.
I took that several times.
Well, here's the thing. I need you to settle a bet with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he claims that when you hold the
By the way, whatever we decide, before I want to just say this in advance.
Okay.
Whatever we decide, and I'm assuming because of your upbeat nature here that you think you're going to be right.
I think I am.
Before you gloat. you may have to give him back the money, especially if we agree with you, because we've been known to be wrong on these kinds of things. But go ahead.
These kinds of things being answers.
Right.
All right. Well, he claims that when you hold a remote keyless entry fob up to your chin and you hit the lock button, that the waves will actually bounce around the cavity of your mouth and give you more distance. And I say he's full of it. There's no way. Because I thought they were radio waves, and I don't think they can bounce around and all of that.
Well, we had heard this as well, and so we don't have any scientific explanation for it. But we do. But wait a minute. No, don't get discouraged.
You're going to like this.
Well, I'm not so sure you're going to like it. But we do have some evidence to suggest, some empirical evidence to suggest that he's right.
Oh.
That, in fact, the distance at which the thing works is increased. If you aim it into your mouth.
Because the waves actually do bounce around?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what it seems like.
So as you're approaching your car from in a parking lot, this is what you're trying to ascertain?
Yeah.
There will be a point at which you try the thing and it doesn't work. You're too far away.
Yeah.
And then if you then take the remote control and point it at your mouth.
Bingo.
And press the button again, it will work. Is that what your friend is suggesting?
Yes, well, he's an engineer, and I am not an engineer.
Well, have you done this little experiment?
I have tried it, and it's on and off. So maybe the battery in my remote keyless entry fob is going.
But have you ever had it work at all?
I've had it work a couple times, and I attribute it to luck.
But when it didn't work, did it work the conventional way?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad.
In that case, I would have to say the results are inconclusive.
They certainly are.
So I would think that this would be a demonstration of what I would call the canyon effect. So you can't you get an echo in a canyon, right? So somehow or another, the waves are bouncing off the canyon, the tunnel, the cavity of your mouth. And somehow or another, maybe they're being focused better. So why don't you try this? The next time you try it, point the thing at your mouth, and instead of giving up, try moving your head around so as to focus those waves. In other words, when you press that button, it may be that they're getting dispersed, but in fact, when you point the thing at your mouth, that beam of waves is getting more focused because it's coming out of your mouth now.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
It could be complete baloney.
Well, can I just tell him he has a bigger mouth than I do?
He could be. I know you hate to admit to him that he's right, but look at the bright side. At least you don't have to give him back the money.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, good luck, man. But I'm sure we will have a very scientific explanation of this on our website. And I'm pretty confident that what I've described to you as this canyon effect and whatever is 100% wrong.
Well, it sounds good.
Yeah, well, you know, it may be that if you're just holding the thing up over your head, it might work, too.
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't tried it holding over my head.
Or you could try swallowing it. That might work even better. I don't know. It's pretty good that we can ponder these kinds of things, isn't it, Chris?
It is. It's great.
Wonderful.
That's why I called
well,
you.
Well, I hope we helped, but I doubt we did.
Well, no, you did, and it was a lot of fun. I love the show.
And thanks. This is the way we learn so much about physics.
There you go.
Thanks for your call, man. See
all
you later.
Thanks. Take care, man.
Bye. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Ben. I'm up in Bellingham, Washington.
Hey, Ben. What's going on?
Well, I got a car. It's a 97 Accord.
Yeah.
When I turn it on, it starts up just fine.
Yeah.
And then about 10 seconds later, it goes moo. And then every 10 or 20 seconds, it moos again.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for calling, Ben. It's been nice talking to you.
I'm just curious, why is it mooing, and does it matter? And I think it has something to do with the ABS system, but I don't know for certain.
Ah, why would you think that?
Well, the ABS light comes on.
Ah.
And the mooing sound is coming from the area of where you pour in your brake fluid.
So let me get this right. The mooing starts after you've started the engine, a few seconds after you started the engine.
Yep.
And then it continues for the remainder of the time you drive it?
No, it stops after about 5 to 10 minutes. And
it stops.
And each moo lasts about just a couple seconds. And then it stops, and then it doesn't moo again, but the ABS light turns on and stays on.
Well,
Okay.
My initial thought was that the mooing is, in fact, coming from the power brake booster, but I've since changed my mind. It's coming from the ABS pump.
Ah.
Because the ABS pump is supposed to maintain pressure. The way the ABS works, for those of you who don't know, is when you step on the brake, the computer, the ABS computer, is reading the speeds of all four wheels. If they're not slowing down at the same rate, if one of them is slowed down a lot because it's on ice and it started to skid, it can reduce the pressure to that brake. But in order to do this, you've got to have a pump that has ready pressure there in the event that your foot can't supply enough of it. That pump is not working, so you need to have the pump replaced. And if you think the car is moving a lot, you're going to be moving a lot when you find out how much it costs. I think you'll be groaning.
Does it need to be replaced? Do I have to drive with ABS?
If you don't care about crashing, you can do anything you want.
I guess so.
I used to drive old cars without ABS up in northern Canada and in the snow, and we pumped our own brakes.
Yeah, I mean, you could apply that same logic and say, well, for years we drove without seatbelts, and my driver's side seatbelt broke, and I can drive the car without a seatbelt.
Right.
You can, but you risk your life, perhaps.
Do the brakes just work like ordinary non-ABS?
Yeah, with the
brakes?
ABS disabled, you probably already established that the brakes work just like they would if you'd had no ABS to begin with.
Okay, it's not like I'm going to be driving down a hill and all of a sudden have no brakes.
I don't know, really. No, you will have brakes. That the fail-safe mode is that they go back to the original design, which was non-ABS.
Right, and I get an added feature of the mooing, right?
And you get the mooing, but there may be that one time where you say, geez, would have been nice as you go over the, through the guardrail and off the side of the mountain. Any hills,
right.
Any big mountains where you are in Bellingham?
I live on a big hill.
Yeah, you live on a big hill. Well, I would try to fix it. You could find out what it's going to cost you, and then you can shop around for used parts.
Okay.
After all, the car is 1,000 years old. How many miles are on this thing?
124,000.
Well, there's a good possibility
not too bad.
You're going to have it for another 100,000 miles.
Right, that's why I bought it.
So you got to fix it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Good
Sounds
luck.
Sounds good, guys.
If you need
thanks
any financial
much.
Help, call Tommy. See you, Ben.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. All right, it's time for us to take a short break.
I don't need a break.
Well, the break's not for you, pal.
I know. It's for the stations. So they can give out important information, I guess.
And for the listeners, so they can come up with a few more chores that involve loud machinery.
All right. Well, when we come back, I will have some new insight into a familiar topic.
Really? A topic familiar to you?
Yeah.
Like what? Alimony?
Close. Very close.
Well, we'll be back with my brother's new insight into something and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
There's that old car sitting in the yard. Yeah, the one nobody wants to drive no more. Its tires are flat and thin, hanging off the rims. And years of weeds are growing through that old floorboard. But you should have seen him back in his
younger days, leaving a trail of memories down a lost highway.
And even though Scott Simon decides to start studying for a riverboat captain's license whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and you ready for this? The male-to-female dictionary.
Well, it's not a whole dictionary, but Mark Seidenberg sent us a few common translations that might be helpful.
For instance?
For instance, when a man says to a woman, "Take a break, honey, you're working way too hard," the translation is, "I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner." When he says, "I was just thinking about you and got you these roses," it means the girl selling them on the corner was a real babe. When a man says, "Have you lost weight?" it means, "I just spent our last $100 on a cordless drill." When he says, "What did I do this time?" he means, "Which thing did you catch me at?"
Of all the things that I've done wrong.
"You look terrific" means, "Oh, God, please don't try on one more outfit. I'm starving."
I've been there before.
And finally, when he says, "You cook just like my mother used to," he means she used the smoke detector as a meal timer, too. Thank you, Mark.
Well, I think I've already mentioned that the puzzler is on vacation, and we're posting archival puzzlers on the website.
Yes, you have.
But I have not yet made a plea for new puzzlers.
Yeah, I mean, after all, how's the puzzler going to come back in the fall if you don't have new puzzlers to steal from people?
Adapt, not steal. Adapt, adapt, man.
Oh, sorry. Steal. Then adapt.
Well, if you have a puzzle you think we can steal or adapt, send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email stuff to us from cartalk.com, including mail for me. I love mail.
Now, if you have a question about your car, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. My name is Corey, and I'm calling from Dowagiac, Michigan.
Dowagiac.
Dowagiac.
It's an Indian or Native American name.
Okay.
We're with you, Corey. What's going
okay,
on,
what's
man?
Up?
Well, my brother and I have a 1969 Camaro.
Really?
It makes a very strange noise when turning to the left, but not when turning to the right.
Do you have to be moving to get this noise?
No, I don't.
Oh.
And then there's an argument here because I have met a guy down the road who has the exact same year, make, and model car. And he says it's my steering box, but I say it's the steering column. And I don't want to take either one of these things apart until I talk to the experts.
Where are you going to find experts?
Well, I thought I'd call you guys first for a couple of laughs.
Oh, okay.
So you can be sitting perfectly still and you turn the wheel.
Wait, with the engine off?
No.
No, I thought you would ask that. So this morning I recorded the sound with the engine off and with the engine on.
Okay. So let's hear the engine off sound.
Okay, here we go. Try this. On the way back. Could you hear that at all?
Well, it sounds like something.
A creaking.
Yes, and it feels like it binds when you're turning to the left. It's kind of like, and then it moves a little bit more freely, and it does the same thing like in a pattern. It's kind of like, boom. Then you turn the other way, and it's smooth.
And it does the same noise when the engine's running?
Yes.
Do it.
To the left. To the right. No problem to the right at all. Smooth as glass. To the left.
I hear it. It's obviously drowned out by the...
Drowned
out by the noise of the engine.
Just drowned it out
by
the noise.
But we heard it anyway.
Very good.
Well, my first reaction is that it's something like a ball joint or tie rod end that is lacking lubrication.
I don't like it.
Well, I might like it. I'm not sure why I don't like it yet. But the fact of the matter is that every one of these joints on this car has a Zerk fitting that you can put grease into.
Okay.
Have you tried greasing it?
No, because I feel like it's right in the steering column.
I know. Well, anything that's binding up anywhere in the steering mechanism, and the ball joints and tie rods
it'll
are
come right up to the steering
integral
wheel.
Components of the steering mechanism, will get telegraphed right up to the steering wheel.
Okay.
With every one of those creaks, you will actually feel the steering wheel kind of hitch a little bit.
Yes.
Because that's, in fact, what's happening. The creaking is being caused by a motion of that ball and socket, whether it's in a ball joint or a tie rod, not being smooth. It's trying to move, and then it frees up, and it's trying to move, and it frees up. And every time it does it, you get that... Just like you would with a sticky hinge.
Either that or it's one of you guys in, under my hood making the noise.
Have you ever gone under the car while someone stayed in the car and turned the steering wheel?
I don't trust anybody that much.
Well, as long as the engine isn't running, you can do it.
Yeah.
I was thinking you were going to tell me to disconnect the steering
column.
I am.
I'm going to tell you to disconnect the steering box.
Okay.
Okay. If you look under that thing, you will notice there is the steering box. You're familiar with that.
Yep.
And this car obviously has power steering. I'm assuming it does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Which probably makes it even more likely that it's a steering box. But we won't tell him that yet because he might get nervous.
Because I don't want to know that.
Yeah, you don't want.
But connected to that steering box is something called a Pitman arm.
Yep.
And at the end of that Pitman arm is a ball and socket joint, which is connected, I believe, part of something called the center link.
Okay.
You can take the nut off of there,
mm-hmm.
and when it falls out, you can then take the wheels by grabbing either one of the tires at the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock position and moving them back and forth. And now the steering wheel will not turn when you do this.
Okay.
So then what you can do is get in the car and turn the wheel back and forth, just like you do to get the noise. And if you hear it, then you know the problem is either in the steering column or the steering box.
Exactly.
If you don't hear the noise, then it's entirely possible that the problem is in one of the ball joints or tie rods or whatever.
Right.
Actually, before you do any of that stuff, grease the whole car.
Okay.
I don't mean the windows. I mean grease
all the grease
all the things that need to be greased.
Okay.
So you've never done, right?
You got four ball joints, two tie rod ends, and a center link, and so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You got 9 or 10 fittings.
Very good.
You know, 10 including the idler arm. So grease all that stuff, and the noise may go away.
Okay.
If it does, call us back. Let us know.
All right. I'll do that. I'll give you a call back and let you know what it was.
All right, Corey.
Thank you so much.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ashley calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi, Ashley. What's going on?
Well, I've got a 2001 Saturn SC1 that seems to have an anxiety problem. Every time I turn him on, he revs up really, really high in between like 1 and 2,000 RPMs. And he sits there, like even if I'm driving or, you know, I'm sitting at a stoplight or I'm going between 1 and 2,000. And then I drive him for a little while and he just comes back down. Normally when he's happy, he sits right and, you know, a couple ticks below 1,000.
Yeah, he'd idle about 800 maybe.
Yeah, but this happens if he's hot, if he's cold, if it's summer, if it's winter, he just freaks out when I wake him up, I guess.
Does he have a name?
Io.
Io?
Because he's a Saturn, and one of the moons of Jupiter is Io, so...
Oh, yeah.
Io.
Yeah, Io.
Okay, well, that's important for us to know.
I know, yeah. It's extremely important, you know? I mean, how would you be able to tell?
How it also means I in Italian.
Really?
Yeah. Io.
Yeah, it's pronounced Io, you know, like I go to the store.
Okay, I'll just start calling him Io then.
Calling Io, yeah. It's much more European and sophisticated
sounding.
So when it finally comes down to 1,000,
mm-hmm.
How long does that take?
It takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes of driving.
And then he's all right after that?
Yeah, then he's fine.
So you've had this car since new? No.
No, I've only had him for a couple years now.
And has this been going on the entire 2 years of ownership?
No, it just actually started a couple months ago.
Really? And is it accompanied by your check engine light being on?
Nope.
Isn't it?
That's why I think it's just anxiety, because the car's not indicating anything else other than,
And what would he be anxious about just having to start out for work of the morning?
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't want to go to work with me. I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't tell him where I'm going and he gets anxious.
Work does that kind of thing to people.
Maybe he's just getting the vibe off of me. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to guess that sooner or later, your check engine light's going to come on, and it's going to tell whoever looks at the car what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be something as simple as a faulty coolant temperature sensor.
Okay.
You know, or it could be a vacuum leak that's causing the RPMs to go up. And then as the thing heats up, that vacuum leak gets diminished. And then when there's a vacuum leak, it kind of fools the computer. And it might boost the idle speed up to keep it from stalling.
Well, he'll do this even if he's hot when I turn him on, too. If I parked him and run into, you know, the grocery store for a few minutes and come back out, he's still...
It'll run up to 2,000.
Yeah, he'll still flip out.
Oh, then it's clearly anxiety.
Do they make medications for cars?
They do.
Yeah. It's called money.
Well, so obviously when this started happening, you didn't think it was serious enough.
No, I mean, I thought, well, maybe it's because he's cold or maybe it's, you know, one thing or another, but then it just kept doing it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a faulty sensor or a vacuum leak someplace, but you should take it in, like when you go in for your next oil change, maybe.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what's
just
this,
mention
what's
it, and they'll have it fixed in 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, $600.
Oh, wait, what?
See you, Ashley.
All right, have a good one.
You
thanks.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888.
It's not a serious thing, we should say.
No, it isn't. It isn't serious. It,
no.
And so maybe that would encourage her to get it fixed.
I mean, we would have cars that would do this for 10 years.
No, we wouldn't. You would.
No, I would.
888-CAR-TALK.
And every time I'd say, what the hell is that?
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Reggie in Chesterfield, Virginia.
Reggie. Oh, Reggie.
Oh, Reggie.
Hi, Reggie in Chesterfield.
Right.
So what's up, Reggie?
I have a 95 Lincoln Town Car.
Oh.
I drive about 65 miles to work each day one way, and it has 432,000 miles on it.
Boy, if ever there was a car that was a candidate for the Cash for Clunkers program, this well, might be it.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, but I have a few...
Well, think, what's there to think about?
Well, I have I've replaced the engine in it, and I have a lifetime warranty on the engine, so if it blows up, they will replace it for free, plus pay to have it put in.
What misguided company gave you a lifetime warranty?
Yeah, because I've used it once, and I intend to use it again unless I can get a better deal.
Really?
I've had it since it had about 40,000 on it.
Wow.
So I'm on, it's on its third engine.
One of which you paid for.
Yeah, I paid. The deal was with the engine was $800 for a 30-day warranty, $1,000 for a 1-year warranty, and $1,200 for a lifetime warranty.
Really?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Now, what'd you call us for?
Well, here's the dilemma. I was really thinking about Cash for Clunkers, and, you know, because my wife is, you know, getting tired of the, you know, the $50, $100 repairs that have to go on with a car like that.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing rides like it.
Oh, no.
You know, my son had a Navigator, and it, when the shocks were bad on the Lincoln, it rode better than the new Navigator.
Oh, so your biggest concern is ride quality.
Well, that, and I'm 6'5". And within an hour, I have to be able to stretch my left leg out because I'm old and decrepit because it cramps up really bad. And I can do that in the Lincoln. I'm looking for something else, perhaps. But the fact that this is paid for has everything to do with it.
Yeah, there is a certain attraction to that. And that's why guys like you and my brother hold on to these cars to the bitter end. Because, well, it's all paid for, and I hate to spend the money to buy a new car.
I've never spent any money to buy a new car.
So what do you think would satisfy you? I mean, maybe nothing.
Well, that's a possibility. My wife's van had a few issues, and we wound up thinking we had to replace that, so we did, and bought a Ford Edge.
Nice car.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, I still don't have enough room to stretch my leg out in that. And the Edge had a problem. I had to take it back to the dealer, and they gave me a Ford Focus, which we drove the last couple of days, and I don't have enough room in that.
Yeah, no, the Focus would be... So a Honda Fit is definitely out of the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So what do you have to do with this left leg?
Just stretch it straight out.
Well, how about, if you don't have to buy a new...
How about you open the door?
Don't think I haven't done that.
Can you do that?
Jeez, how about a Cadillac DTS? That's a nice car.
I'll give that some thought.
Yeah, oh, you could wait till you need another engine in this thing. I mean, $50 here, $100 there is nothing compared to the, you know, a new engine. If you can squeeze another engine out of these guys, they're going to have to send an assassination squad out to get you. Yeah. Whatever you do, we ain't giving another engine to Reggie, no matter what.
Those guys have been really good to their work, because I bought two engines. I bought another engine for my daughter's car when she blew hers, and they were good as gold.
Good. So not only did they give you another engine, but they also paid the labor.
$500
to put it in.
Yes.
Well, you could keep this car, although, except, you know, it's closing in on 15 years old, and even though you've got a new engine in it, relatively, everything else in the car is 432,000 miles old.
Yeah, I know, but I've only put 1/4 transmission fluid in it since I've owned it.
Boy, oh boy.
Jeez, well, you might have that one, as they call it, an outlier. The one vehicle that performs way beyond expectations.
Oh, let's hope so.
Yeah, so you might want to just keep it until the bitter end.
See what happens.
What would you consider a success? If you got to 500,000 miles, would you call it quits?
I don't know. It depends on how well it's running.
Well, good luck, Reggie. Let us know what you do. If you decide to buy another car, I'd love to know what you find is adequate.
Well, thank you. And if I make it to 500,000, I'll give you a call.
All right. Very good. See you later, man.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Now, there is an interesting guy.
He's a fun guy. 432,000 miles.
Man.
I'm trying to think of all the cars that I've owned, if I've driven a total of 432,000 miles. I may not have.
You may not have.
Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Camelot Lobster Pot, Sauerbrot, Tater Tot, Apricot, Extra Shot, Burp-a-Lot, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our French folk music historian is John T. Alouetta. Oh, God. Our complaint line operator is Leave on Hold. Our downsizing consultant is Candace Guy. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the full-time cafe crowd in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Oh, don't drive like my brother.
Right. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 934, paw through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, have we got a scam for you?
Yeah, this week we've looked at all the gas-saving, hair-growing, magnet molecule dispersing devices we could find, check them out, and determine which ones are completely what?
Bogus!
That's right. And we spill the beans on them this week at our website.
Check out the new Scam Detector.
Is our show in it?
No, not yet. The Scam Detector's on the homepage all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Meryl Streep sticks herself with a truffle slicer whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.